In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. An old friend of mine named Shane recently published his first book called The Briar Patch Gospel, in which he talks about meeting God in the wilderness of life. Shane's a pastor in Atlanta. Actually, he was my youth pastor when I was a teenager. And he knows a bit about the search for God in the impossible, barren, and prickly places of life. He tells the story in the book of when his 5-year-old daughter was diagnosed with childhood leukemia. He talks about when the doctor came in to inform them that what was causing the pain in her back was actually the fact that cancer was eating her vertebrae. He writes, "In a split second, someone had pulled the emergency brake on the freight train that had been our life thus far. Loaded with cargo of hope, dreams, and best laid plans, we were speeding along, unencumbered and optimistic about what lay ahead. Now, crushed against the bulkhead, all my aspirations for my daughter's future and our family shattered and splintered about me, I labored to breathe." Shane and his family spent the next 2 years, as his daughter went through chemo, asking questions to God about the future that seemed promised to a vibrant little girl and his difficulty believing she would ever get there. After months of barrenness, of uncertainty, dark nights with bags packed, ready to rush to the hospital for another day, the Easter of new life dawned as she went into remission, and she's been healthy ever since. Though the specter of the threat always remains, it's been 10 years now, and they dare to dream again. But that didn't change the difficulty of the months he had to rely on a most basic trust in the hope of God's promise that seemed inherent in the joyful life of a little girl. If anything, I think the experience has only increased his inclination to continually question the promise amidst his act of obedient faith. Abraham finds himself in a similar place in today's reading. God has promised him in his old age that he would be the father of a great people. But in this story, Abraham is having trouble believing in the possibility or trusting in the God of the promise. He stands alone, childless in the barren desert, and asks God if his promise is still valid because he doesn't see a way forward to that dream anymore. I'm sure it took some guts to stand there and question God one-on-one, the same God who had brought him out of the land of Ur and saved him many times. So God starts by gently saying, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield. And though it feels like the swords are drawn and the arrows are coming, but I'm your protector." Then God says the most reassuring thing. He reminds Abraham who he's dealing with. God says, "I am Yahweh. I am who I am, the same as I was before when I made that promise, the changeless one who you can count on, and I will keep my promise." God's promise is a sure promise. God is patient even when Abraham is not, because God understands that coming with questions is itself an act of trust, a faithful part of relationship. Struggle and faith are integral parts of the fulfillment of the promise of God. God's promises require steadfastness and patient faith. But questions are also part of that faith. Abraham doesn't get direct answers to his questions. Instead, he gets a sign of God's gracious overflow. God tells Abraham to look at the stars and count them if he can. It's God's way of saying, I put those in the sky to be your guiding light, more numerous and wonderful than you can imagine, and I will put descendants in your line in the same way. And Abraham believed. And the Bible says his faith was credited to him as righteousness. And when the author of the book of Hebrews tells this story, he says, and Abraham was called the friend of God. For Abraham, faith isn't just about believing in the abstract. It's a type of trusting that involves his very being and the substance of his life. And it was credited to him as a form of action. This was Abraham's job, to trust. And then God does the most amazing thing, the part of the story that might need the most explanation. God gets Abraham to bring a bunch of animals and cut them in half. This was an ancient way of marking a covenant. The animals were laid on either side of a path, and the two parties walked side by side through the middle of them to symbolically say, if I fail to keep my end of this bargain, may I be torn in two like these animals. But after Abraham has prepared the space, God puts him in a deep sleep. And in the verses that are skipped by the lectionary, God assures him that he will fulfill his promise, but that before his descendants can inherit the land God has prepared for him, they must go through slavery in Egypt. In other words, things will get worse before they get better, but keep the faith, because the promise is still true. Then the symbol of God, the holy fire, passes between the animals to declare that God will be faithful as well. It's extraordinary because it's a one-sided covenant. While Abraham sleeps, God acts. The very blessing that Abraham is asking for is the very thing that God wants done. So God acts, and it is up to Abraham to hold faith amidst his many questions. This is a perfect Lenten story. Lent is about teaching us to live in the wilderness of life, whether you're currently in one or not, because they're part of every human journey. It's about teaching us to ask the questions that need asking when the promise of God seems so illusory. It's about teaching us to search the barren landscape for the signs of life that God offers. It's about teaching us that faith is an action. In Lent, we learn to trust that God will be there. We learn to trust in the promise of Easter through the barrenness of the 40 days and the darker nights of Holy Week, because that's the only path to Easter dawn. The Son of Man must suffer and die in order to rise again. The disciples thought this was anathema, but it was the only way the story could be told. And we practice living through it because it has parallels in our own lives. Like trusting God to provide in the time of unemployment, when the money starts to dry up, we're afraid that the house might go eventually, but you can believe that you have a calling, a purpose for which your passion and skill set allow you to meaningfully contribute to the world around. It's out there. Or trusting God when the treatment begins to seem worse than the illness, when energy wanes and you are not sure you can endure, you find rest in the idea that healing is indeed a reality in the world. Or like Abraham, trusting God when your children are lost and you're not sure of their future, when potential seems wasted and possibilities evaporating, you have faith that God loves your children as much as you do, that they are not as lost to him as they seem to you. Christ is like the mother hen gathering her chicks beneath the safety of her wings, and your little chicks will not be left out. These are the desert times of life, when the promise seems elusive, and it's God's ephemeral, and you start to question. In the desert, you have nothing to offer but your trust in God's faithfulness. In the desert, like Abraham, you offer a needy, desperate trust, an utter reliance on God, and that is credited as righteousness. It is reckoned as friendship with God. So this Lent, let us learn how to stand in the wilderness and still look to the coming Easter, even if it lies on the far side of Holy Week. When you're full of doubt and bombarded with questions, go out into the cold, dark night and look up at the stars. Count them. Number them if you can. And when you're done, you will know the breadth of God's promise. In the dark stillness of night, the light of God passes through, and the voice that breaks the silence says, "I keep my promises. Follow me on to Easter morning." Amen.